Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ooh, welcome back to Overnight America. So, you know, this hour, there's a few things I wanted to get to that I didn't have time. And we're going to, I got to take one more call on the Greitens thing because our friend Jerome is on the line. But there's a movie trailer that I watched and I threw up in my lap watching it. It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. So gruesome, apparently people are walking out in disgust. And there's another article about, does Hollywood need a PG-15 rating? Now, this is two unrelated things, but Hollywood is going to go through some pretty major changes. And to me, it's probably better to just sit it out, man. Stay away from that. I also want to talk about what's going on with North Korea and the UN with the call into Gaza probe and what happened here in St. Louis with the protests that went around. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk to Jerome because this is a lot more fun. So, Jerome, it sounds like you have prepared something nice for us.
I have. I have been working on a rap for you about Mr. Governor Greitens' Excelsior.
Oh, wonderful. I cannot wait to hear this. So this is inspired based on the dismissal or just in general about him?
Well, it's in general and whatever pops into my head as it goes.
Okay. I would love to hear your Governor Greitens' rap.
Well, here it goes. Yo, Governor Greitens, or should I say Eric, you got all the politicals in Missouri in a hysteric. They want to know if this real trouble, and will how far of them will it bubble. And some just want you to go down and look like a know-nothing clown. You act like you're about family values and such. Now that seems to be nothing but a crutch. Now, all I'm trying to say is you sound like a hypocrite and a half-wit and a dim-wit and a nit-wit and a twit with nothing, and if you were a teenager, I'd pop you like a zit. And nothing is what I'm saying makes sense right now because I kind of let go of what I was doing, but back to what I was saying. You are a fool. You tried not to be a tool. You tried to look cool, and now you've been taking the old school, and you are going down like a clown. Word to your mother.
Nice end to it. Word to your mother. You throw an ice baby at the end.
That.
All right, Jerome, not bad. So you were feeling it there. When you rap, what are you doing? Because in the studio, you can't really see me do this, but I am getting into it. I'm moving and grooving in here.
I'm moving my hand like I'm Eminem in my little world. I'm B-Rabbit from 8 Mile in my little world.
So you're holding your phone like a microphone at this point. And I'm surprised you haven't dropped your phone after that.
Well, actually, I do it with my right hand, the motions, and then my left hand, I hold it close to my head so that I don't lose my voice and I don't screw up and so forth.
The Governor Greitens rap. If you feel so inclined, I'd love to hear a Kim Gardner rap at some point too.
All right. Well, I will try to work on that, and I can tell you tomorrow because I'll work on it though.
Wonderful.
Definitely.
Thank you, Jerome. Good hearing from you, man.
Oh well, good to hear from you. I'm getting attacked by kittens at midnight.
What?
We got newborn kittens. Well, they're not newborn. They're like 4 weeks old or something. And the mom just brought them out, and they were kind of slowly coming out as I was talking on the phone.
That sounds like a movie, Kittens at Midnight. It'd be something you'd find on television or something.
More like Skinamax back in the 90s.
Oh, man. Thanks, Jerome.
See you guys. Bye.
Wow, I wasn't really going there, but that would be PG-15. So does Hollywood need a PG-15? I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But I wanted to play this because I thought Elias Davis did such an excellent job. He's on Fox 2. And one of the big problems with this whole Greitens case is that Kim Gardner was so tied up, she wasn't using the resources allotted to her to get extra prosecutors. Instead, she's spending all this money on this private investigator in Michigan and this Harvard professor or whatever that's supposed to aid her. And for whatever reason, they weren't telling her to end it. You don't have a winning case. It's a losing case. Why'd you bring it up? From the very beginning, there was questions if she used the wrong terminology or misrepresented what the law actually says in order to get an indictment against Eric Greitens. From the very start, there were questions about her tactics. And now, as a public defender, here, I'll let Elliot Davis, this is from a report from Fox 2. Could you imagine trying to get anything done with the prosecutor's office when they're not compliant?
The public defender also joining the list of those concerned. The head of the office, Mary Fox, filed a complaint with the court saying some defendants are sitting in jail longer because her office can't get the evidence it's entitled to in a timely manner from the circuit attorney, information they should be getting in weeks, taking months. Mm. She's asking the court to make Gartner comply with the law and provide information in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
Fox says in her court papers, appropriate sanctions may include a continuance of a trial setting, exclusion of a witness, or dismissal of the case.
Mm. You know, that was Elliot Davis there. He does such a great job. So I want to just point out real quick, isn't it terrible when the public defender has to say, all we want you to do is comply with the law. All we want you to do is comply with the law. She has had some issues with that as of late. As of late. All right, does Hollywood need a PG-15 rating? Would that even matter to you at this point? Like, it's would you say to your kid, well, I guess now that it's not PG-13, I guess you can't say. There's a TV-14, right? They have a sort of, is there going to be like a one for every age level from here on out? In a movie that had so many people disgusted, I want to talk about that coming up too on Overnight America KMOX. So here's a bit of movie trivia for everyone. The Motion Picture Association introduced the PG-13 classification after parents complained about, you want to guess what movie? Producer Mike, I'll give you one guess. Don't want to. After parents complained about Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Is that the one where the guy's face melts? I can't remember which, or no, that was the Holy Grail. I can't remember which one, the Temple of Doom. That was Raiders of the Lost Ark one. Okay, and they're trying to get the Holy Grail or whatever it was, right? Is that the same one? The cup? When they, oh, Ark of the Covenant, that's what they, okay. It's been a long time since I've seen it. So the Temple of Doom, which one was that? Was the Temple of Doom the one where they were like tied up and there was lava and stuff? Which one was that?
Yeah, I think someone's face melts in that one too. There's a lot of face melting in the series.
So they thought it was too gruesome for PG. And they wanted a different classification. Also, Gremlins, they thought was too much for PG, too intense. So they started PG-13, which makes sense. I mean, if there's moments like that in movies and there wasn't a classification, if all they had was PG and R, it made sense to find something in between if there's going to be movies that were shooting for that. But does Hollywood need a PG-15 rating? Should they bump it up a couple of years? Because there's a big difference between 13 and 15-year-olds. Why not just PG-16 or something after they get their driver's license? They're independent, and they could go see a PG-16 movie. What do you think? Does Hollywood need an extra rating in there? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Like, does it even matter? Like, if your kid's 13 versus 15 or whatever? So, you're taking your kid to the movies at that point anyway. Wouldn't you just be able to use your own discretion? Is it really necessary to have a special classification of rating? Because if you're a parent, you can take your kid in. Like if it's a PG-13, they're not carding the kid as long as the parent's there. Same thing if a PG-15. I guess if they're going alone with their friends at that point when they're 15, they probably have that opportunity. You know, or someone else, you know, if it's kids are maybe like 16 or 17 going to the movies, they have their driver's license, they'd be able to, I guess. But studies have shown that gun violence in PG-13 movies have been rising. And the movie that they're using as an example is Skyfall from 007. So they say that findings suggest that parents may want a new rating, that the film industry is taking inappropriate advantage of the PG-13 system. There's a article that came out in the journal Pediatrics, and they said these movies often get a PG-13 rating by omitting the consequences such as blood and suffering and by making the use of gun violence seem justified. But parents of teenagers say that even scenes of justified violence are more appropriate for teens who are at least 15. So the point that they're making here is the gun violence is on the rise. They show people get shot, but in order to avoid the R rating, they don't show the blood. But the violence is still there. That's why they want to up it. If you're going to have all the violence, make it a 15. Or go full-blown rated R. The study is out, and they're using the massacre that happened in Parkland and the terrible, terrible, terrible events down there as a way to try to justify upping a PG-15 rating. Because they're saying gun violence is there. Kids are now more inclined to read about this in the news in their own communities. They may have people that have been victims of gun violence in their own life. So it's very real to them. Maybe you don't want to have a 13-year-old encountered with a movie they're going to, and you think, okay, PG-13, how bad can this be? You know, and then they show up, and the 13-year-old is getting just as much violence, they're just not showing the blood. Participating parents were asked to report the violence and their emotional reaction of viewing it as part of the study. They watched a couple of different movies. Let's see. Footage was taken from 6 movies that received PG-13 rating, including Skyfall, Terminator Salvation from 2009. I don't remember that one. They also took the movie Training Day from 2001. I thought that was Denzel Washington. I didn't know that was PG-13. Maybe I just assumed it was rated higher because of the language or something. And there was another movie in there, but they basically edited the clips to remove blood and suffering to mimic the effects of PG-13 movie. Okay, so Training Day was a rated R, but they edited it to a PG-13 to see if it made it any better. Their finding, they said justified gun violence was judged suitable for 15-year-olds, but those who had kids younger, they thought it was unjustified. So they didn't want their younger kids to see it even after the blood was taken out. So they said, okay, that's what Hollywood is doing. When Hollywood puts a movie together, they're doing exactly what we just did with these rated R movies. They'd cut the blood out, but it's the same type of movie. So if you're queasy to it then, it goes to show you, you don't need the blood. Your mind could connect the dots, and it's still just as bad. Rated R films are restricted for those younger than 17 unless a child is accompanied by an adult. The Motion Picture Association has defended its system. Ratings are assigned by a panel of about a dozen parents who watch films in their entirety and base the judgment on what the majority of American parents are likely to believe is currently appropriate. I didn't know that's the way they did it. I knew they had to do it something like that. I just didn't know that was the way they did it. Researchers found that parents are concerned about other things than guns, foul language, tobacco use, same-sex kissing, have all long attacked the rating system, which was introduced 50 years ago. Critics point out that countries like Japan and Australia have ratings that limit certain content to 15-year-old viewers. And we do it for television, so they have TV-14. There's a movie that's coming out that they should rate this no for no one. No one should see this. And unfortunately, giving it the light of day and maybe even talking about it here gives it publicity when it shouldn't get publicity, but it's a pretty big motion picture, and it has introduced itself at the Cannes Film Festival. I've heard it said different ways, but it's one of those premier film festivals where a bunch of people get together, they pretend they're superior to you, and they're a higher class of film viewer, and they sit down, and they, I'm guessing, wine and cheese and things like that go on. We're not talking about bacon and brats. That's not what they're eating at places like this. You know, they're too hoity-toity for this. But they normally show some of the more artsy films, and that community really gets into it. They are movie snobs. So at Cannes, there was a new movie by Lars von Trier. It stars Matt Dillon as a serial killer. Uma Thurman's in it, and the movie's called The House That Jack Built. It's about a serial killer. I watched the trailer with the sound turned off because it was in the article I was reading about it in USA Today. And I threw up in my lap watching it without sound. It was so disgusting. I made producer Mike watch it. Did you make it through the whole trailer? It was like a couple minutes long. What, am I overreacting? Is that a pretty disgusting looking movie? He's saying it does look pretty bad. And the reason it looks bad, it's like there's movies like Saw, which is more like for the sake of gore to be gory. This is a little bit different. And let me explain it to you, because something strange happened at this film festival. The hoity-toity film critics said, enough's enough. This is going way too far, which doesn't happen. Keep in mind, one of the movies that won Best Picture last year, I didn't watch the movie, but I understand there's scenes where a woman has relations with a fish or something like that. The Shape of Water. Isn't that what happened in the movie? I've never seen it. I know a lot. And they won Academy Awards. They love stuff that's controversial and strange. So for the critics and the people to walk out on a movie is like crazy. The gruesome film is about a serial killer with more than 60 deaths to his name. Dylan's murders relishes bloodshed and plots increasingly horrifying ways to inflict death. So basically, once that it happens once, he says, it's not enough to satisfy me, and it gets worse, and it's not enough to satisfy me, and it gets worse, and he keeps going worse and worse and worse and worse. It kind of plays on human nature, I guess. I'm not trying to say that this movie is have a deeper point that we all need to look over and study and figure out, but human nature's like that. I totally understand the premise. Think about anything that you've done, any type of habit you want to stop. How hard is it for you to stop it after you find that you need to keep doing more of it in order to be satisfied? You know, some people it's drinking, some people it's biting their nails, some people it's, you know, goofing off, some people it's social media. So, you know, it's anything. You can find any type of vice in your life or food or whatever. And it just, you know, all of a sudden, I need to do more of it in order to get the same level of satisfaction I used to get from it. For him, it's murder. So the movie starts off with him and Uma Thurman, and it shows him, I don't know, slamming her in the face and dragging her across. And then it gets increasingly worse through this trailer. And, you know, it shows him basically just finding different ways to murder people. Okay, so you're thinking, why is this different than any other video game? Here's a couple of tweets of people that were there screening this film. One person, Ramen, it's Sado. I've never seen anything like this at a film festival. More than 100 people have walked out, which depicts the mutilation of women and children. It's disgusting, one woman said on her way out. Another person said, walked out of the Lars von Trier vile movie, should not have been made. Actors culpable. Person on Twitter, Charlie Angela, I just walked out of the Lars von Trier premiere because seeing children being shot and killed is not art or entertainment. Okay, you might think to yourself, maybe Hollywood's waking up that there's some things that are inappropriate. Nope. Andrea Mandel later tweeted out, Cannes crowd eating it up, long-standing ovation for Lars von Trier. So, you know, you get a theater with a couple hundred people, half walk out and discuss, the other half stand up and cheer. Ain't that telling of what's going on here today? Then they ask themselves if they're going to sleep tonight. So, I don't know. The rating system, they need to have a whole different rating for things like this anymore, I guess. It's a major motion picture. That's going to be a big talking point. I would not recommend viewing that trailer. Like I said, I felt like the cops were going to raid our office building because I was just watching something that was illegal. It's what it felt like. It felt like I was doing something wrong watching this thing, honestly. And if it wasn't embedded into the story I was reading, it just makes me feel dirty. All right. I want to talk about a few other things. I was going to mention this in the last hour, but pushed it down a little. North Korea may be stalling their talks with South Korea and gives a warning to the United States. What about the UN calling for a probe into Gaza violence and protest here in St. Louis calling for the Palestinian statehood and the end of violence? Well, maybe they should be protesting that the Palestinians end the violence and Hamas be stopped immediately, but that's not what's being protested here. I want to talk about all these things coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Mm-hmm. 12:34 in St. Louis. Yes, we are live. Yes, I see your text messages. Snarky ones included. 314-436-7900. You know, we were talking about Governor Greitens in the last hour. I might as well bring this up real quick because John was listening. What's going on, John?
How are you doing tonight, Randy?
Good.
Yep, just got off the night shift and was listening to you on the way home. And I know the right-to-work vote's going to go through, and I've been doing my research. And I just wonder if you thought that there'd be any repercussions with what's going on with the governor now for that vote.
No, I don't think so, because even if the governor were to step down, I think that Parson, when he steps in, would have the same similar feeling. So I don't think there would be anything that would happen there. I really don't. I don't think it'll change anything.
Okay.
I mean, that's my gut feeling on that. Just because he's stepping down doesn't mean that they're going to redo an election or anything like that. It just means someone else steps in, another Republican.
Right. Now, does that vote in August or November? I'm trying to figure that one out, if he can help me out.
Now, last I checked, it was still August, but they were fighting to try to get it on the November ballot. This was last week. I don't think it was pushed back. Now, they did some filibuster late last Thursday night, and I don't think that was anything changed because of it. So I think it stays on the August ballot.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it stays on the August ballot. Yeah, it's not moved. It hasn't moved.
Yeah, I've been looking at it. And one more question. The Senate voted to legalize industrial hemp. And if that passes the House, then that goes to Governor Greitens' desk. That's another mess. So
industrial hemp, so what would it be used for, like clothing and stuff? Or what would it be used for?
It would be used for research in the marijuana field and hemp.
Medical marijuana, or when you say medical, or you just say the marijuana field, like what do you mean?
As far as oils.
Oh, I see.
You know, for medical reasons. So if he's impeached, then who signs that bill into law?
Well, I think that the impeachment just means the trial of him. So they're going to consider kicking him out of office. So just because, let's say the House in Missouri decide to impeach, it means it starts the process where they decide. And now keep in mind, the governor's going to have a chance to defend himself if it gets to that level. So if it goes to the Senate, they'll do the full investigation. And they'll have a chance for Governor Greitens to defend himself there. So even though, just like Bill Clinton, like he was impeached, but he wasn't kicked out of office. So it's going to be the same thing with Governor Greitens, that he's going to get his shot and he's going to be able to defend himself if he chooses to. And then they'll do a vote if he gets kicked out or not. So like, even though he may be going through that process, he'll still be able to sign these things. And who knows how long it'll take.
Okay, I appreciate all that info. I've been doing my research, listening to you, and just kind of wondered, you know, I guess he can still sign stuff as long as he's still in office.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it works. He's still in the same position. He's innocent until proven guilty. So in this case, he's governor until kicked out.
Okay, I appreciate all the info, Randy, and you have a good morning.
Thank you, John. Bye.
Thank you.
Did he call me Randy? I think he did call me Randy. Hey, thank you. So Ryan Recker here with you. Randy J. Sullivan. That'd be a good radio name too. Randy Sullivan reporting. But we are online at Ryan Recker. I should go reserve Randy Recker just in case. He's been tweeting at me and I haven't been seeing it. And Ryan.Recker at camelx.com. There's a couple of other things I wanted to get to when it came to what's going on with North Korea? What's going on with the UN? Where do we start? Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. So how about North Korea cancels to talk with South Korea and warns the U.S.? And CNN's been running this like it's the biggest story on the face of the earth, which is a pretty big story because North Korea wanting to play ball is important. And do they have a point here? So North Korea has canceled a high-level talk with South Korea because of its anger over joint military exercises with the U.S. So North official news agency said the exercises were provocative, right? And they're trying to provoke them into doing something or provoke military action. And they don't want that to be a rehearsal for an invasion. I get it. Here's the thing. North Korea should settle down a little bit. There's going to be no way South Korea or the United States are going to invade North Korea and try to say, you know what, these talks, we're just going to skip them and we're just going to do it the hard way. Military, let's just send them in. No, I don't think so. In March, Donald Trump stunned the world by accepting an invitation to meet with Kim Jong-un. And they will both try to make a very special moment for world peace. They're still trying to meet, though. That's the thing. They want to be able to get together. They want to be able to do this. They're still planning on meeting. So none of that, I think, has changed right now. They're still getting to that point. I guess North Korea, maybe they're a little on edge because they're in a situation they've never been before. They've never thought they would be in a spot where they're talking peace after all these decades. And it's been forever. You know, it's been way past my lifetime. 1953. Other points that the leaders agreed in a joint statement were the end to hostile activities, changing the demilitarized zone that divides the country into a peace zone, arms reduction in the region to ease military tension, and to push for four-way talks involving the U.S. and China. North Korea has the most to gain from all of this, by far. It's not even close. They've been cut off to the rest of the world. They have tried to get around sanctions by working with companies that were dealing with them off the record. Now, a lot of these major companies that are right based here in the United States or based in South Korea or China have been secretly trading with them to get around some of these sanctions, but they'll never admit that they're doing it because they don't want to be the ones to break these sanctions. But North Korea still needs things. They are still someone that will consume things, as poor and neglected as a country as they are. So being able to lift all these things and be able to act like a real country, I mean, they have so much to gain. If what's going to mess them up are drills that South Korea is holding, I don't know. They're just being a little too restless at this point. So in the past, they have threatened an all-out offensive in response to exercises. If they pull away from it at this point, I don't even know what President Trump's going to do. If North Korea pulls out, and who knows, maybe they will, it's going to make him look bad. But then again, I have a hard time trusting North Korea because they've done certain things like this before. They've showed some promise and then nothing ever happens to it. But man, would it be such a big thing for Trump's presidency to be able to say, under my watch, not only did we get North Korea back on pace with the rest of the world and not a threat, but who knows, maybe even the Middle East after that. There could be anything that happens. All right. So what I got for you is something else. I want to talk about what's going on in Gaza and the UN. UN is calling for a probe into Gaza. The United States blocking that. And Nikki Haley is talking about the unrest in Israel. I want to talk about that, too, coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. So a little bit of drama that happened earlier today at the United Nations with Nikki Haley as representing us and talking about the unrest in Israel. After yesterday, we finally make it official that the embassy will be moving to Jerusalem. So there has been a lot of violence. There has been a lot of tension. And Israel, Palestinians, they have continued the fighting. So here's the latest from CBS News. The United Nations Security Council held a moment of silence for the dozens of Palestinians killed along the Gaza-Israel border on Monday. There were more clashes today, CBS News correspondent Meg Oliver reporting.
Thick black smoke rose from burning tires in the West Bank as Palestinian protesters clashed with Israeli troops. In Ramallah, sirens sounded for 70 seconds to mark the 70th anniversary of what Palestinians call their day of catastrophe, following the founding of the State of Israel.
We're here to say that this Israeli oppression will not break our will or our popular resistance.
Protests also continued near the border between Gaza and Israel, a day after Israel's military killed dozens of Palestinians.
All right, so that was CBS News reporting. And there's been protests here even locally in St. Louis. There's a report in the Post-Dispatch. A St. Louis protest calls for Palestinian statehood, end to violence. Let me play Nikki Haley, her comments from earlier today before she walked out in her own way, saying we don't need to listen to what's going on with the group that's sympathizing with Hamas.
Those who suggest that the Gaza violence has anything to do with the location of the American embassy are sorely mistaken. Rather, the violence comes from those who reject the existence of the State of Israel in any location. Such a motivation, the destruction of a United Nations member state, is so illegitimate as to not be worth our time in the Security Council, other than the time it takes to denounce it. Yesterday's opening of our embassy in Jerusalem is a cause for celebration for the American people. Moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem was the right thing to do.
Yep, it was the right thing to do. It's a long time coming. So where and why is this continuing to happen? Well, I just want to bring out one scenario for you, and I want you to answer this, and I think this will determine deep down inside where you think you should side on something like this. Here's the question. If Israel decides to lay down their arms and say, we're done fighting, would the Palestinians and would Hamas leave them alone? If you think the answer is yes, no one thinks the answer is yes. Automatically, I think they would storm and bring violence to the Jews, period. Okay, let's reverse that. If the Palestinians in Hamas, let's say they said, we're going to lay down our arms and we're going to be done attacking you, would Israel try to push their borders back and would they continue to fight them? The answer is no. The answer is no. History has proven that all they want is peace. Deep down inside, if you think the main goal of Israel is to push the borders back and to take the area around them, you're wrong. So how many times have we seen this in history? I had to look it up just to double check, but it goes back to 1936. They formed a British task force, the Peel Commission. They wanted to study why there was so much fighting between the Jews and Arabs there. And obviously, it's the same fight that they're having today. They want to govern the same land. So the commission said, how about we create a two independent states, which is what we continue to hear, the two-state solution. So they suggested splitting the areas up. It heavily favored the Arabs. British offered them 80% of the disputed land. They offered the Jews 20%. Jews accepted this offer. The Arabs rejected it. Now, keep in mind, this is goes right to the main issue that we have, because no matter how many times you try to negotiate peace, the main thing that's being yelled is no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no negotiations with Israel. Those are the famous three no's that the Arab League met in Sudan and issued back in, I think that was the 90s or 2000 or something like that. And that's what they continue to do today. No peace, no recognition, no negotiations. How do you find peace with a group that cannot say yes to anything? So what do you want to do? You just want to, according to them, what do you want to have? Another Holocaust? I know that sounds terrible, but if all they want to do is eradicate Israel off the face of the earth, as we've heard from the leaders of Iran and other groups in that area, is that the ultimate goal? Is that the only way you dispute this? You just wipe one of them off the face of the earth? So we go back to 1936. There was that one offer that was rejected. Okay, 10 years later, 1947, the British asked the United Nations to find a new solution to the continuing tensions. The UN decided it was best to do a two-state solution, a two-state. Okay, just like they tried to do 10 years ago, two-state solution. The Jews accepted the offer. The Arabs rejected it. Okay. Jordan, Egypt, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria joined the conflict. And Israel was able to defend themselves after they said they were going to just go in and take the land. Okay. 1967, you may have heard of the Six-Day War. Again, Jerusalem and the West Bank in an area known as the Gaza Strip fell into Israel's hands after there was more conflict and more fighting with them. And even after that point, how many times has Israel said, we are willing to give you land. We will let you have your place, but we got to have ours. And the answer is always no peace, No recognition, no negotiations. And it continues to this day. You know, I had to look up a quote. And even when they tried to do negotiations in the late 90s, so they had the two groups meet together with Arafat, and I forgot who the leader of Israel was at that time. They were still saying, fine, you can govern this area, you can have this area, it could be yours. You have great resources here. We're just going to hand it over to you in Egypt, and you can just have it. It's yours. And they continue to say no. And Bill Clinton, not the biggest conservative or Republican, if you think this is a conservative issue, Bill Clinton said the Palestinians said no to every single thing that was brought up. Why? Because of the three no's. No peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no negotiations with Israel. A two-state solution rejected every single time. So it would be nothing short of a miracle if Jared Kushner can get some sort of peace in that region. I don't know what it's going to take. But all I'm saying is when we have these reports of protesters in St. Louis, organized by the Missouri chapter of the American Muslims for Palestine, the protest drew about 100 activists, academics, and religious leaders who gathered to reflect on the ongoing struggle of Palestinians to regain statehood. I'm going to say this to all the protesters and every single one of them. This is going to be important for you to answer this. Based on the history and the things that we've seen, if Israel said, we're just going to lay down our arms, we feel like this is the only thing we can do, would the Palestinians in the surrounding countries, would they immediately attack Israel and try to regain that area? And we know it wouldn't be peaceful. They're not going to walk in with signs. Of course they would go in and do that. So tell me again. Tell me again why the people that live there have no right to defend themselves. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has blamed Hamas government of Gaza for inciting the violence. And that's exactly who, that's where the blame lies. That's where the blame lies. That's where we are today. It's not a simple solution. It's a simple problem, but it's not a simple solution. Who knows where this is going to go? I tell you, though, if anything could happen there, if anything happens, I just, it's so hard. It is so hard to even conceive something happening there. But if it does, it's nothing short of a miracle. Coming up, we have a little thing called Tell Me Something Good. How about we talk good? Please. I could use some of it. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.